and it's titled Jesus Changes Water to Wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheapest wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him.
His second reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, starting at verse 6, which can be found on 1247 of the Pew Bibles. Revelation 19, starting at 6. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Alleluia, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.' Then the angel said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.' At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'"
Father, we thank you for that word that we've heard this morning. We just pray for Jane as she comes to share what you have placed on her heart this week. Speak to her, speak through her, we pray. Give her clarity and confidence, and give us the ability to hear and receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Jane.
Good morning. Can you remember the best wedding you've ever been to? Or perhaps you're planning a wedding and you want it to be absolutely perfect. Last Saturday we were at a wedding reception. It was a nice evening, chatting with old friends, there was plenty of food and drink. The celebrations went on a lot longer after we'd gone to bed. The wedding itself had taken place in the Dominican Republic back before Christmas, and from the photographs that we've seen and talking to the people that were there, it sounded like a magnificent affair. And in fact, some of the guests might have been thinking, best wedding ever. And we've probably all been to different sorts of weddings, but I don't think any of them would have been like the two weddings we heard mentioned in our readings today. Did you notice there were two weddings mentioned? The wedding at Cana, from our gospel reading, and the wedding of the Lamb, from Revelation. But what significance do those two weddings have for us today? Let's look at them one at a time. The reading from John's Gospel told us about a wedding that Jesus attended right at the beginning of his ministry. In the first chapter of his Gospel, John had described the ministry of John the Baptist and how he testified about Jesus, that this is the Son of God. And then John later directed two of his disciples towards Jesus, and they became Jesus' followers. And then the Gospel tells us how Jesus called more people to be his disciples. 3 days after that, Jesus, his disciples, and his mother were guests at a wedding in the town of Cana. John, the writer of the Gospel, was probably one of those disciples present. So this is a first-hand account of what actually happened, of what he saw and witnessed. A Jewish wedding in the first century would probably not have been like the sort of weddings that we might have experienced. First, the bride and groom would have been formally betrothed at some time in the past, sometime previously. This was a bit like an engagement, but much more official. At that time, the groom or his family would pay a dowry or a bride price to the bride's family, which formed a contract between the two families, guaranteeing that the bride belonged to the groom. The betrothal lasted quite a long time, maybe a year. And during that time, the groom would go and prepare a room or a home for himself and his bride. As the day of the wedding approached, the bride would get herself ready, and then the groom would come to collect her and take her to their new home. The actual marriage ceremony, when the groom claimed the bride, would just be attended by a few close family and friends, but it would have been followed by the wedding banquet, a lavish celebration which lasted several days, even as long as a week. This banquet would have been attended by family and friends who had travelled long distances to get there. And often the whole town was invited. And to refuse would have been an insult. This is the celebration described in our reading. It wasn't just a small occasion. Running out of wine at a wedding feast would have been a huge social disgrace. The groom and his family would have brought shame upon the whole family. But that's what happened. And Jesus' mother must have been one of the first to notice. And she told Jesus, "They have no more wine." Now, we don't know what she was expecting Jesus to do. But her words to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you," shows that she trusted Jesus to help in some way. Jesus' instruction to the servants, "Go and fill the jars with water," might have seemed a strange request when what they needed was wine. Telling them to take some and serve it to the master of the banquet was even more unusual. Can you imagine that servant as he goes and pours the master of the banquet a glass of what should have been water? He must have been amazed as the master praised the wonderful wine he was tasting. The wine that Jesus provided wasn't just ordinary wine. Compared with what they had been drinking, it must have been something like the difference between what my dad would have called supermarket plonk and a bottle of the best vintage of a famous grape variety from a superior wine producer. This was the finest wine. And it wasn't a small quantity. 6 jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons, if you do the maths, would have been equivalent to between 700 and 1,000 bottles of wine. The bridegroom And the master of the banquet had no idea where this abundant supply of wine came from. But the reading tells us the servants knew. But did they understand? Did they learn anything from what they witnessed? Jesus' actions and his presence at that wedding can tell us some things about God. He's interested in our lives. He wants to join in our celebrations. And he is able to act and meet our needs. The servants had a part to play in the miracle, showing us that God can use us to do his work in the world, and that he will work with us and through us to achieve his purposes. The abundant wine shows his willingness to bless us with good things and more than we could imagine. Of course, Jesus wasn't encouraging excessive drinking. Other Bible passages make it clear that we should drink only in moderation and remain sober. And if the whole village was invited and the celebration was all week, that was probably exactly the right quantity of wine. The main purpose of the miracle was not to meet the need for wine, but to reveal Jesus' glory. Jesus' disciples recognized his glory, and they put their faith in him. They saw the power and the glory displayed by the miracle, and they trusted in Jesus. John's gospel begins with those words that we hear read at Christmas. In the beginning was the Word. That passage that goes on to tell us, through him, the Word, all things were created. In those verses, John is telling his readers that Jesus was present and active in the beginning in creation. The changing of water into wine demonstrated that the man Jesus had the same authority over creation that he had in the beginning. This was God, the Creator, come to earth as a man. That miracle performed during a wedding was the first sign that Jesus gave of who he was. Those who really understood what had happened recognized the sign and trusted Jesus as Lord. I'm sure some of the guests at that wedding went away thinking, best wedding ever. But however great that wedding was, however wonderful weddings we've been to, there will be a wedding to come that is far better and far more important. And we all have the opportunity to be part of it. And that's the wedding mentioned in our reading from Revelation. As Lee told us last week, Revelation was also written by John, who wrote the Gospel. It's a letter to the church, and it's about Jesus. It contains prophecies about the end of the world and Jesus' final victory over evil. Today's reading, which comes towards the end of the book, follows passages about the final destruction of the forces of evil. In chapter 19, John sees a vision of all heaven praising God for his victory over sin and death and evil. And then, in the passage that we read, John sees a vision and he hears a great multitude rejoicing, saying, "Let's rejoice and be glad. Give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come." Heaven recognizes that the time of the wedding of the Lamb has arrived. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has claimed his bride, and his wedding banquet is about to begin. Other passages tell us that Jesus' bride is the church made up of all faithful believers. Like that dowry paid by the bridegroom. Jesus paid for the church when he died on the cross. We read last week about Jesus. With your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Jesus' blood sealed the contract, making the church his bride, like a betrothal. And before he died, Jesus had told his disciples he was going to prepare a room for them. When he returns, it will be to take his bride to the place he has prepared. And this is the cause of the great celebration in heaven. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave the pattern for marriage. A man and a woman united together as the place where families are raised. But that is much more than just a picture of earthly marriage. It points forward to the eternal union between Christ and his church. That's why it is so important that we hold firm to the biblical picture, the biblical view of marriage. Jesus' bride is described as wearing fine linen, bright and clean. Imagine the most spectacular wedding dress. And we're told that this linen represents the righteous acts of God's people. The righteousness of believers is the wedding garment of the church. That doesn't mean any good things that we do. We cannot clothe ourselves in righteousness. Righteousness is given to those who believe in Jesus as Lord and receive the forgiveness that he won for us at the cross. It's only by faith in Jesus that the church can be appropriately clothed as Christ's bride. As John's seeing this vision, he is instructed to write, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And then we're told, "These are the true words of God." In recording the angel's words, Jesus is passing on to us the message from God that those who are invited to his wedding feast are blessed. They will be in God's presence at a celebration that will last forever. The alternative is to be shut outside, separated from God in eternal darkness. So who is invited? The guests at the heavenly banquet will be those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour. When we fully put our trust in Jesus, we are accepting that invitation. But we need to have done that before Jesus returns. When the groom comes to collect his bride, those who are not on the guest list will not be admitted. Have you accepted that invitation? Jesus first showed his glory to his disciples by changing water into wine. Throughout his time on earth, he gave other signs of who he truly was. Those who recognized the signs believed in Jesus and received him as their Lord. We can't physically see Jesus at the moment, but he is revealed to us in various ways by the Holy Spirit who points him out to us. Through the wonder of creation, which points to a creator. Through the Bible, which gives prophecy and bears testimony to Jesus. So to get to know him, we need to spend time reading our Bible, alone and with others. And as believers, we too can reveal Jesus to others by our words and by our actions. Recognising Jesus as Lord and Saviour is what brings us to put our full trust in him, submitting our lives to his will. And then we will receive the righteousness that allows us to be properly clothed as his bride and to join in those heavenly celebrations. Out of all the guests at that wedding in Cana, we're only told that it was Jesus' disciples who put their trust in him. There must have been many people who enjoyed the wine but didn't recognise the one who had provided it. And sadly, that's still true today. People can see signs of God at work in the world. They share in his blessings, but they fail to recognise God and fail to surrender to him. We need to be sure that we have turned to God in faith and given him our lives. And then we need to help others to know God so that they and we can be part of the Lamb's wedding feast. There can only be one response to seeing the glory of God revealed in Jesus. As the angel told John, worship God. We worship God when we come together on a Sunday morning, but that is only a small part of the worship that we owe him. When we truly recognise the awesome power, authority, and holiness of God, then the worship we give is to submit our lives to his will and seek to serve him in the world, putting God first in all our decisions and our actions. Worshipping God and focusing on him will help us to be prepared for Jesus' return, just like the bride getting prepared for the return of her groom. The wedding at Cana, and all the weddings that we might have been to, however wonderful that occasion, are only a foretaste of the wedding that will take place in heaven when Jesus comes to claim his bride and the church is finally united with him for all eternity. That really will be the best wedding ever. Will you be there? Amen.